Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, EdTech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TeacherCast. My name is Jeff Bradbury, and this is Digital Learning Today, a show for educational leaders and instructional coaches. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject that's near and dear to, well, honestly, unfortunately, a lot of educators out there. We're going to be talking a little bit about stress and what it is doing to the educational profession. I have two amazing guests with us on the show that are gonna be talking about this and what they're doing to help out the educational community. Before we get into that conversation, I hope you guys have had a chance to check out all the great stuff over at teachercast.net. We've been doing a lot of great work on the website, tons of podcasts, and if you like this show, please hit that like and subscribe button. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. My guests today have been on a tear over the last little bit, trying to help out educators who have been feeling it lately, I think is the easiest way to put that. I want to bring on today Mr. Lee Ironman and John Hunt. John and Lee, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
We are awesome, and thank you so much for having us today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let me start off. You go ahead.
Okay, deal. So I'm John Hunt. I was a science educator for 6 years. I understandably got burnt out like a lot of teachers. We ended up leaving the teaching profession around the same time. And we decided we really wanted to help out our fellow teachers from another role. And so we started up our company 3&B, and that's what we're hoping to do is help out some teachers, help out some kids.
Yeah, how about yourself?
After COVID, John and I decided that we were going to go off on our own and start a little company called 3&B. And our whole intention was to help people just live better lives through learning, through resources. But before we left, we had made a little promise to our coworkers that we would try to help other educators. And through a lot of work and research, we just started to realize that there was a lot of pain out there, and a lot of that pain wasn't being talked about. And if we want to get to the bottom of that, if we want real solutions, we need to talk about it. I was a teacher for 16 years. I saw how the profession changed over 16 years. And I think we can have a renaissance in teaching and bring back what once was. But before we do so, we need to recognize that, and we need to make some real changes, and we need to help teachers in this profession.
Now, before we get into the conversation, I'm just going to do a little warning. There's going to be some topics that we're talking about today that might hit you guys a little bit. I've been talking about this topic of teacher burnout, stress for the last 6 months or so. And every time I bring it up to somebody, there's always a story that comes back. So if there's any questions that you have, their website is the number 3AND. The letter B.com. That's 3andb.com. And of course, we're going to have all the links over here in our show notes over on Digital Learning Today. So I'm just going to start the conversation with this. Burnout is real.
It's real, and it's hitting a lot of people. I was surprised at how many teachers in our survey mentioned the idea that they're actually quitting this year specifically.
And the number of teachers, when you look at surveys, a lot of time you see that nice fancy bell curve, you have a big middle, and you've got some people on the end. These surveys are showing there's tremendous stress, not just a little bit, tremendous. The majority of people are telling us that the stress levels are not only affecting them at school, but they're bringing these stresses to home, and it's involving each part of their life. And we don't have a historic record of stress, but I can tell you, teaching over the last 16 years, I did not feel the stress levels that I did 16 years ago that I did before I left. And I think our survey is really starting to show that there is something going on. And if you're a teacher, I'm sure you have a good idea of what it is. But there are things going on in education that are causing teachers unbelievable amounts of stress, not only in school, but they're bringing it home. And this is causing teachers to reevaluate, is this profession for me? Everything that I put into it every single day, all the work I do in school, all the work I do at home over the weekends, is it worth it? And I think a lot of people are starting to say, there's an alternative out there. There has to be something that's less stressful.
I want to talk about this survey just a little bit here. It's amazing. I'm looking at some of the results here. It says 1,057 responses, which is outstanding work, my friends. But unfortunately, the first question is, how satisfied are you with your work-life balance? And again, almost 1,100 people have responded to here. Mm-hmm. 31 said 5 out of 5, meaning the top number. 144 were a 4 out of 5, which basically means out of 1,100 people, 200 people were in the 20% range that said they're actually happy. Just to round it off, 300 people, so 28% said that they were a 3 out of 5. 32 people said that they were a 2 out of 5, and 21 people, which means 60% of the people think that they are not happy with their work-life balance. When you're looking at burnout, there's a lot of different topics, right? And I want to hit just a few of these. Stress from the teaching profession, right? Let's kind of settle in here. You've got communities asking more from school districts. You've got school districts asking more of administrators. You've got administrators, and I'm generalizing here, guys. A lot more administrators are newer administrators due to just turnover from COVID, and not understanding yet how to be a leader, how to be a manager of people, how to be a manager of professionals. And they're then bringing that inexperience into the classroom on top of all of the pressures that have to be conceived of when it comes to curriculum development and teachers and stuff. What can you tell us a little bit about teacher burnout just from the teaching profession right now?
The one theme that I keep recognizing over and over again is student behavior. Hmm. And not only is it student behavior, but it's the consequences of student behavior and what you're alluding to, the lack of administrator support. Teachers learn how to teach their curriculum. They are there each day because they have a passion for whatever it is they teach, for whatever it is they do, and they want to teach. They want to take their knowledge. They want to take that special gift they have to be a teacher and give that to their students. When they are dealing the entire day with problematic behaviors, and then when they reach out to an administrator looking for help, and it comes back, well, here's the student back in your class, little consequences. We're not going to reach out to the parents. Whatever the case may be, it's hard for these teachers to internalize that, and I understand it. So I think what you're alluding to is right. What we're having here is a number of problems across a number of areas, and there's a lot of blame to go around. But teachers, we are what we are. We teach. To ask us to now be behaviorists, to now be almost mom and dad in some cases, to be the administrator, to actually come up with our own consequences in our classrooms. We're not trained to do that. It's not our job to do that. It's not our passion to do that. So when you're asking us all day to deal with problematic behaviors due to COVID, due to the problems we're seeing at home, due to the number of reasons in society that we're dealing with, it causes tremendous amounts of stress. And then as a teacher, and we were just talking about this, we're professionals. We want to do our job. We want to do our job to the best of our ability. When we're not able to do that, when we don't get the support from our administrators, when we don't see consequences to the students, the stress levels go through the roof. And we ask ourselves, what is it that we are doing here? Why are we spending our day here day after day? Am I a babysitter or am I a teacher? And those stress levels become very, very real. And if I see anything in the comments and in the survey results and in the other survey that we're doing about classroom behavior, student behavior, I think, is the number one problem. And if you want the number two problem, it's real quick, it's money. We've got to pay teachers better. The lack of paying teachers a professional wage is driving people crazy. You know, I love the fact that we see minimum wage being lifted all around the country for different things. But where's the fight for teachers? Joe Biden, in his State of the Union speech the other night, in a very quick 2 seconds, but I appreciate the 2 seconds that he gave, said teachers need a raise. I couldn't agree more. And if you look at the amount of money that is spent on wars, you know, I'm a teacher. I don't understand what's going on there. I don't like war. I don't want war. It's the most awful thing in the world. But you look at what's spent there. Look at what's spent at the Department of Education. Look at what's spent all over the country for all different types of things. You can't tell me that there's not enough money to give teachers who are, in effect, teaching the future of this country. You can't tell me we don't have enough money to give these dedicated professionals a raise. Think about COVID. We were asked to go back to COVID.
I honestly thought we were going to get a raise because we were considered essential there for a little bit.
We were asked to go back to work right after the summer, the first lockdown. We didn't get that year off that everybody else did. We were asked to go back to work. So literally I was told, you can't leave your house August 15th. You can't leave your house. I spent the whole summer in my house. August 16th came. They were like, get back in that classroom. We put arrows on the floor. You're going to be okay.
But look.
Good luck.
They were spread apart every 6 feet, maybe, right?
Absolutely. And you know, when I was kneeling, So you can't tell me the money's not there. And you can't call us heroes one day. You can't tell us how great we are one day and then tell us you're going to pay us poorly. And you know, one thing John and I talk about often now is, you know, teachers are in high demand. If you're working for a school that's got crappy administrators who are treating you poorly, find a better job. It's a simple message. Find a better job. Schools need to get the message. If they want good teachers, get good administrators. Get administrators that are going to support teachers. And we were very lucky. We came from schools and had great administrators. I was very lucky. I've had like 5 administrators in my life, and all of them were great. So I'm very lucky that way. There's a lot of other things that weren't great, but my administrators were always there.
Well, I'd like to bring up something to that point here. I'm going to go back to the survey. Your question was, how often do you feel recognized or valued by your administrators? And again, 1 to 5 out of 1,100 almost people, 43 people answered a 5, meaning that they really felt valued. 150 people said a 4 out of 5. And then you had, let me do the math, 50, 70. You had 70% of the people were a 3 or under that said that they felt valued or recognized by an administrator or a colleague. How do you feel about that?
And like Lee said, we lucked out pretty well with our administrators. But from what I've seen and what I've read within some of these survey results and also some of the comments that they leave in our threads and all that is that a lot of these teachers feel like they're in isolated islands, like their classroom is their own thing and admin is on a whole other island and they barely interact at all. And I mean, there's the occasional staff meeting and, you know, I'm going to call it, you know, the pizza party reparations of sorts, but the interaction is very minimal and it sounds like it's somewhat dismal too, which is unfortunate.
Nothing hurts me more than that result. That someone can't come around to a teacher working their tail off and just walk up behind them and tap them on the back and say, good job. Like, what does that take? You know, it almost brings tears to my eyes talking about it. And I talk to administrators all the time about this, is walk around and recognize what's going on in your school. There are people who are giving up their lives, both in school and out of school, to do work with these amazing children to do for society. And it stuns me that these numbers are coming back, that these administrators just can't walk around. And I think that goes back to what you're saying. You know, these are administrators who don't have experience. They're taught about education. They're not taught about, you know, human relations or human behavior or even how to, you know, deal with people. And they're not given the proper reinforcement. I don't think administrators realize the power that they have. You know, we as teachers work for our students, but we work for the reinforcement of our administrators. And without, you know, the praise, without the good job, you know, it just makes more stress. It makes us feel unrecognized. And these numbers are showing it. And to me, it's heartbreaking.
But speaking on behalf of all adult professionals, that pizza party is kind of nice at the end of the month.
Don't get me wrong. I will take a pizza party over no pizza party, but we could also pay our teachers.
You have another statistic here that is interesting, and I want to see if this broke the way that you thought it would. The question was, how often do you feel comfortable communicating with colleagues about any challenges you may face? Now, that one mostly skewed around the number 4 out of 5. I'm curious, and I didn't see this particular question, how do you feel that question would have skewed if it was, how often do you feel comfortable communicating with administrators about challenges in the classroom?
Oh, I'll be honest. I think when we phrased that question, I think it was supposed, we probably should have included administrators in it as well. But if it was just solely administrators and left out colleagues, in that case, I think it would have been, you know, less satisfaction there. Probably by a good amount, honestly.
I think one thing awesome about teaching, and there's another question that alludes to this as well, is that teachers support teachers. And because I talk about this all the time, in a lot of different works, you can, jobs, I should say, you can go and meet your friends after work and be like, hey, you know, I had a good day, I had a bad day, this happened. But only a teacher can understand another teacher. No one knows what it's like, elementary school, middle school, high school. At some point, I was seeing 130 to 150 students in an 8-hour period a day. There are very few people who can understand what it's like to try to run 130 people through your life in an 8-hour period, give each one of them attention, make each one feel like we're trying to connect with them, teach them something, and have them leave your classroom a little bit better off than you found them. That is a very big task for many people. And if you ask most people, they don't deal with 130 people in an entire week. And we're dealing with that on a daily basis, every single day. So when you see those numbers of teachers supporting teachers, that doesn't surprise me as much, because we have to be there for each other, because I think that's all we've got left.
I want to take a step back here, because we've used this term on this show, and this term is used a lot. Could one of you please define for us the term burnout?
Sure. The way I view burnout is the idea that you are working to the point where you can't work well anymore. And, you know, that can tie in a variety of different factors where you have no desire to, you can be putting in as much effort as you want, but it's still not going to be your best. Kind of the idea that you can't pour from an empty cup, so to speak. You know, whether that's because you're getting overworked, you're not tending to your mind, your body, and your spirit because of other stresses, anything like that.
What are some of the warning signs? Like, how do you know that you are hitting that tipping point? Does it come on right away? Is it something that you can see coming? Is it the train coming down the tunnel? How do you, like, what are your internal fight or flight warning signs that you need to just take a mental health day or take, you know, just relax for a second?
One of the questions we ask in our survey is that, how well do you do self-care in your life? And that is another area where you see it's skewing to 3, 4, and 5 again, where teachers aren't taking the time to self-care. Burnout comes in a lot of different ways and in a lot of different speeds. But I'll tell you one way that administrators can help burnout is by recognizing teacher effort. Burnout comes from many different places, but one of the biggest, and I hear from it from teachers all the time, is that they're working their butts off. No one's recognizing them. We're all human beings. And teachers are special creatures. There's a reason why we're willing to go into this field, work for very little pay, work hard for very little pay, because we want to educate teachers. I love teaching. I miss teaching every single day. But there's only so much you can take. After COVID, we were asked to go back in the classroom. I got COVID 3 times, once like really, really, really bad. And I just had to say to myself, you know what? I think I could be better on the outside, and I don't know if I can handle, you know, getting COVID one more time. So I needed to do something. And when I left, I said, these teachers need help. And you're absolutely right to talk about burnout, because whether it happens quickly or whether it happens over time, there has to be a relief valve. And that comes from, number one, being recognized. Administrators, if you're listening, go around to all your teachers and recognize them. I don't know what the fear is. I don't know if administrators fear, if they recognize you today, they can't tell you bad tomorrow. I had one, I can give you a really quick hint about this. I had a great administrator in New York City. And whenever you got, they called them, I can't remember what they called them, but it was always a shout out and it was always a negative. So you always got both. And teachers thrive on feedback. We love it. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me what I can do better. But come into my classroom and say, man, you're rocking that and you could improve that. You got me hooked all year long. I am there. I'm working with you. But you leave me down there, and like John said, an island? Well, yes, burnout's going to set in very quickly, especially if you're not recognizing me and dealing with those problematic behaviors.
If you are an administrator and you notice burnout might be happening with some of your staff members, is there something that you can do about it?
First thing administrators need to do is give teachers permission for self-care. Again, going back to the idea that administrators don't realize the power they have over teachers. Administrators need to go and tell somebody, you know what? Get out of here. As soon as that bell rings, I want you out of here so you can take half hour for yourself each day. You know, thing that you're doing every day, I'm going to relieve you of that duty for the next 2 weeks so you can take some time for self-care. And self-care looks different for everybody. And we have a whole PD that we created around self-care because it does look different for everybody, but it's incredibly important. And the administrator needs to go around and say, teacher, here's time, here's space, take some time for self-care. I don't know what it looks like for you, but do it. Here's permission to do so. And once they have that permission, take the time. Learn how to relax. Learn how to breathe. Learn how to find space for yourself. Because as John just said, you can't pour from an empty cup. And as a human being, you need to fill that cup. And the way we fill a cup is by getting that reinforcement from our administrators saying, hey, you're doing a good job. There's no one out there. Hey, John, you're doing a good job. Makes you feel good.
Man, I haven't heard that in so long.
I know, right? Oh, come on. I tell you that all the time. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel like, you know, valued as part of the community. And the second thing is you give people space for self-care and bring in professional development. One of the things I learned, another thing I learned in New York, have the kids mark some of the papers, you know, like find ways to reduce your stress in the classroom so you're not overworked. You're not bringing work home. One thing that I always did, and I told a lot of young teachers this, you're hired to work all day. There's a big, you know, incentive. I don't know, incentive is not the right word, but there's a want to go talk during the day, during your break, go meet with another teacher and talk about what's going on in the school. Work. Get your work done in school. Get it all done. So when the bell rings, you go home to your life and family and make your life that way. And if you can't, find ways to do so. Find the professional development, find the teacher, find the person who's figured it out so you have your time after school. But to avoid burnout, administrators, please start recognizing your teachers and two, give them the space and time so they can get some self-care in their life so they can fill that vessel up so they have it to give to their students.
See, and if I was an administrator, something that I would tell my teachers is you can say no. Teaching has always been kind of characterized by this need for self-sacrifice. I'm going to do all these extracurriculars for the kids. I'm going to run all these clubs. I mean, I can think of a few examples just from my teaching career of a teacher who just did everything, and they did it to the detriment of their family. I mean, they just didn't spend any time at home. They didn't see their kids. They didn't see their spouse. And I think there's examples like that everywhere. And we need to let teachers know you don't need to do everything. You can say no.
I'm curious in your work here with working with, you know, teachers, students in school districts, et cetera, teachers are getting pressured from the top, from their districts and their administrators. They're also getting the pressure from the bottom, meaning the students. Mm-hmm. We're going to be dealing with the COVID generation for a while, right? Even, you know, like right now I'm teaching middle school. I got 6, 7, and 8. Well, those kids were in first, second, third grade, you know, kindergarten, first, second, third grade, when all of this stuff was going on. One of the questions that you have on a survey here is how well do your students manage their emotions? And I don't think I'm wrong in saying this. We're still there, right? Kids don't know how to quite check themselves. Kids don't know how to keep, you know, personal space. Kids don't know how to keep their hands off of each other. Kids don't know how to, you know, take that deep breath themselves. And they're in classrooms with stressful situations, trying to perform, trying to keep that GPA going. And there's 30 other souls in their class that are still, that are having those same problems. And then you throw in emotions and, you know, growing up and all of that stuff. What advice do you have for, I'm just going to throw it on the table here, that 25-year-old brand new teacher who's wide-eyed and ready to go, they're not ready to handle all of this stuff.
It's true. It's a bit of a tricky situation, I think. And this is kind of a shift that we're seeing in a few different states. And I think especially because of COVID and that crazy two-year gap, there almost needs to be a direct push for some way to work in some social emotional learning curriculum. Because I hate to say it, but I think some of these kids just genuinely, they're too far behind. And maybe it's because they're not getting it at home. Maybe it's because it's too much screen time. It could be a mess of things, but I almost think there needs to be some kind of tie-in to school so that those things can be addressed. Because I don't know if they're getting that at home, unfortunately.
You only know what you know. And for some reason, and like John said, there's a lot of reasons and a lot of blame to go around. Students are showing up to school without the social emotional learning that they used to show up with just because. And you can point a lot of fingers to the reason why, but the reality of it is, you're absolutely right. We have these students with problematic behaviors. Still, the only choice we have is to teach them what they haven't been taught. So whether you are going to do it in your classroom, you're going to do it as a school-wide initiative, you have to teach these students how to control their emotions. John and I's first book was called Let It Go, and it's a seven-step process to deal with your defense cascade. What we have is a whole generation of not only students, but we have also adults running around dealing with problems with their fight, flight, freeze response, the defense cascade, instead of dealing with it as an adult human being, or even a young adult, or even a child who has some coping skills. We have an entire generation of young people and even adults who have not been taught the basics of how to deal with their emotions. And whatever the reason is, they're showing up in our classrooms, and what we have to do as educators is recognize that, and we have to teach them. We're trying to do it at the high school level. We're going to bring it down to the middle school level. Neither one of us have much elementary experience. Maybe somebody out there does, wants to join our crusade. But we have to bring the knowledge of human behavior, defense cascade, fight, flight, freeze response, emotional regulation, coping mechanisms. We have to give this knowledge to the children, to our students, to adults. And then we can expect better behavior. But until then, what we're expecting is these students to learn something that they don't know. And I tell teachers and administrators this all the time. We must meet students where they are at. We have to meet them there. We can't expect them to know this when they're here. So we have to learn where they're at and teach them. And you know, I don't think it would be hurtful if we spent the end of every year and the beginning of every year doing what John just said. Social, emotional learning, coping, regulation, self-awareness, positive growth mindset. We know this stuff. We know this stuff works. We have study after study that says it works. One last thing I'll quickly say. In the 50s, 60s, we found psychology and sociology, and you saw a rush to bring those classes into high schools because we recognized just how important that information was to humans. We are in the exact same situation now with human behavior and social emotional learning. Some of these phrases have gotten stigmatized. Some of them have been attached to like DEI movements or whatever. They're not. They're teaching human beings how to regulate their emotions. And there's nothing wrong with that. And for some reason, you know, Jeff, John, and I, we got that at home before we showed up at school, you know? And I can tell you that wasn't done. It was done in a lot of different ways. Grandparents, parents, whatever it was.
Took a village.
Now it's going to take our educators to fill that gap. And there are resources out there. We work with a bunch of different organizations, reach out to us. We're working in the high school, getting into the middle school level, but we have to teach this. So instead of getting frustrated, recognize that they don't know how to deal with their emotions and educate them. Take the time to educate them. It's like remediation. If you have a student who doesn't know math and you stick him in an algebra class, he's going to fail. Remediate him, prepare him for algebra, and he'll succeed.
I want to generalize a little bit here, so give me a little bit of leeway on this, but we have a current teaching profession that either fits into one of these two categories. They're either veteran teachers who are just holding on until that day, or they're newer teachers that are getting out because they were already in college while all this was working. But that middle part of the teachers, you know, many of them left the profession or family started and they never came back, or you know, there's a gap in the middle there, right? Again, generalizing. eventually the older generation's going to go away. The middle is going to get older, but it's still thin. And now here comes the now 20 to 31, you know, year olds that are going to be the middle teachers, and the COVID generation is going to be the educators. I don't have a crystal ball. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but how do we get out of this? How do we start to shift over the next 5 to 10 years when the kids that we are saying are emotionally challenged and et cetera, they're the ones that are going to be in the classroom soon. What happens then?
We need a revolution. We need a renaissance. There has to be somebody who champions teaching. And it has to happen like ASAP, because we're losing the teaching profession. We're losing students. If you look at the current results from our testing, it's awful. We have just tons of students who aren't even meeting grade level. Now, I wanted to say this real quick. There are some teachers who are reaching out from school districts that are doing awesome. They're crushing it. They're happy. The students are doing great. There are a lot of school districts out there who are doing good, but there are a lot who are not. And there needs to be a revolution. There needs to be a change. And we were shocked. We posted this little Facebook thing, say, hey, take our survey. We were hoping to get like maybe 50 or 60 to get some like data, to get some idea. But these things keep pouring in. And then I read comments that there are teachers out there giving blood on a weekly basis, giving plasma for $75 to make ends meet. And they're living a humble life. They have one child at home, and they're both parents are working, and they need to give plasma. Like, tell me, that breaks my heart. And then you tell me that you're not even getting some recognition from your administrator? It has to change. There was a time in this country and the world that teaching was a noble profession, like a greatly noble profession. And when I was teaching, I always felt proud of being a teacher. I was like so proud. And many people don't know this about me, but I was a lawyer before I became a teacher. And I gave up a law practice. I was a lawyer. I retired in good standing, and I became a teacher because I loved it. And after starting, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And I felt proud to tell people I was a teacher. During COVID, I don't know if I felt that same amount of pride. And that has to change. We have to get the pride back. We have to get people paid. You know, one of the ways we respect people in this country is through money. Okay, we respect those who make a lot of money. And teachers have never asked for a lot of money. One of the saddest things that happens is when we do get that 3% raise, and you see all these teachers walking around going, oh, we got 3%. It's like, you figure out what 3% really means to you in your paycheck. What is it, $100 a month, $60 a month, $70 a month? These are like small amounts of money. And these people, these amazing educators, these dedicated professionals are running around celebrating 3%. Meanwhile, you see other workers, I'm not going to call them out because I don't want to set that up, but they're getting way larger raises, and they don't have half the education, half the requirements that we are required to do, not only to become a teacher, but every single year to maintain our license on top of that. So we need a renaissance. We need the respect. We need the administrators to step up and make it a place. You know, every other business in the world promotes about what a great workplace it is to work for us. Like, come work for us. It's a great workplace. Look at all these benefits. It's time for schools to start recruiting teachers in the same way. Come work for me. We got your back. We've got PD, like self-care, self-awareness, growth mindset. We teach our students self-awareness. We teach them how to deal with their emotions. We give the tools to the students and the teachers to succeed. That should be the mantra. We should have a president of our country not only saying we deserve a raise, saying our teachers deserve respect, our teachers deserve a raise. Another thing that bothers me tremendously is, how did we lose? When did teachers give up their family getting health insurance? When did that happen? You know, I was never married while I was a teacher, so I don't know when this happened. But I remember when I was young, if you became a teacher, one of the big perks of that was your family got good health insurance. That ended? And all of a sudden now you're asking a teacher to pay like a good, like 20, 30% of their salary just to have health insurance on their family? Come on, these things have to change. And we need respect, we need a renaissance, and we need leadership out there who's willing to stand up and say this and get it done.
So my thoughts on the upcoming like COVID, the quarantines eventually becoming teachers once they actually get to that point. I'm not terribly worried about those that are geared towards teaching, because those are individuals who love. One of the things that we like to say is teachers teach because they love teaching. And ideally, that means those quarantines that are geared towards teaching are also lifelong learners. So I'm hoping they can catch up on whatever gap that the pandemic gave them, and they'll be stellar teachers as well.
The website is 3andtheletterb.com. And if somebody does reach out to John and Lee, what are some of the things that they can do? How can they support when somebody does reach out to you? What do you ask of them?
Well, one of the things we are going to be doing is we're going to have a community in about 6 weeks. We're going to set up a community for everybody who responded to the survey and anybody who wants to join us to come up with 7 suggestions that we're going to send to national and state leaders. And now we've got the data, and I'm so thankful that so many people did participate. And please, if you could, go to our website, please take the survey. We're not sharing the names with anybody. We do collect the email just to verify you are a teacher, so we do have, you know, good data. But we have good data to go to state and national leaders, and we're going to have like a mini online conference. We're still getting the technology figured out behind that, but we're going to invite people to help us comment and come up with 7 real suggestions. And number one is a raise. Like, that is 100% number one. We can't get more clear on that. Number one is a raise, and a big raise for educators. But we're going to come up with these 7 suggestions, and then we're going to make sure that national and state leaders get them. And then we hope after that, we can have an open conversation, especially before this election, to maybe get something done to really bring the esteem to teaching that it really deserves.
John and Lee, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. Let's not make this the last time. Please feel free to invite yourself back on. We'd love to know more about the success of the organization. And once you start to put all that stuff together, we would love to have you and others come back on to continue this topic. It is one that is needed to have. It is a conversation that is happening underground. But as so often we use the iceberg example in education, we need to start bringing those conversations above the surface of the water. And I want to say thank you to you guys for, you know, championing all that stuff and really being the voice, right? Helping out and trying to put those chess pieces together. One more time, John and Lee, where can somebody reach out? What's your socials and how can we help you guys?
We are, well, actually, I guess our emails are easy too. John@3andb.com. Lee@3andb.com.
We're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We're on TikTok. Our website's 3andb.com. Facebook, though, is our number one place. We have everything on Facebook. We're relatively new. We just started in January. We published our first books in January. We're in like over 200 schools, so we're super excited. If you want to reach out about social emotional learning, well, all the other stuff to do is great. But please take that survey and look for the link on our website. It'll be there in about 6 weeks to join our community. And you don't have to give your name. Just be there with us to come up with these 7 suggestions, because I'm really, really hoping, you know, the surveys turned out to be amazing. I'm just hoping that we can get something moving to start a conversation to get real change in the teaching profession. And I can't thank you enough, Jeff, for having us on here and helping support our cause. I know you're an amazing educator with amazing stories as well. And I just really, really appreciate you reaching out and taking the time to spend with us tonight. It really means a lot to both of us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Don't forget to hit like and subscribe on this podcast. Share this episode with others. There are many teachers out there that are feeling this way and need a little bit of support. We all need that edu hug here and there. And John and Lee are certainly there to give that edu hug as they go through the days. Don't forget to head on over to teachercast.net. Check out this and other great podcasts, tons of blogs, and of course, like and subscribe this show. So on behalf of John Lee and everybody here in TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter @TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.